We shall play baseball today in Coney Island. I can't believe I'm saying this, but even through the drizzle, we will fight on for a 6:30 first pitch at Maimonides Park. Wherever you are, however you may be listening, if you found us, good for you. We haven't found ourselves in a couple of days. The Cyclones and Wilmington Blue Rocks, after two consecutive, historic, if I may say, fog outs, woke up today expecting to play a pair of games at 4 o'clock into a doubleheader. The rain had other plans. It has pushed us to a 6:30 first pitch, so we are scheduled for that. The umpires are out at home plate. Both teams are in the dugouts ready to go for 6:30, so that is the plan for tonight. We've got baseball coming up in the next 5 minutes or so. Now, here's the deal. Today we were supposed to play two sevens at 4 o'clock. That has been now switched. This game is a nine-inning game. We will only play one game today. Tomorrow, it is officially now a doubleheader beginning at 12:30. So if you're doing your math, we still are one game behind our schedule. We missed Thursday. We missed Friday. And we'll have to end up making up one game in Wilmington. So we're ready to go. It is drizzly. But the grounds crew has done an amazing job just trying to get the field ready. Luckily, we're turf, so we only have to get home plate and the mound ready to go. So we'll give you tonight's lineups, brought to you by the Holiday Inn Express, downtown Brooklyn near Barclays Center. Located just a short subway ride from downtown Manhattan, Holiday Inn Express Brooklyn is a smart traveler's affordable alternative to Manhattan hotels. Stay smart at Holiday Inn Express. For the Wilmington Blue Rocks, managed by Mario Lison, his team is 14-14 and coming into today's game 7.5 back of first place Aberdeen. Darren Baker leads off. He'll play second base. Center fielder Ricardo Mendez bats behind him. Yasiel Antuna, the switch hitter, will hit third and play left field. Then 4, 5, and 6, the catcher Israel Pineda batting cleanup. First baseman Omar Merahildo batting fifth. And the big lefty DH Drew Mendoza bats sixth. Kevin Strohschein's in right field batting seventh. Third baseman Jose Sanchez batting eighth. And the nine-hole hitter, shortstop Jordy Barley. Jake Irvin will pitch this first game. And Oscar Rojas will throw for Brooklyn. So these two guys have been waiting and waiting and twiddling their thumbs and waiting and waiting. And we'll finally get to throw, at least in a game, coming up here in a moment. So 14-14 Wilmington, the Washington Nationals affiliate. Now we'll take a look at Luis Rivera's 13-15 Brooklyn Cyclones, 8.5 back of Aberdeen. This is game number 29 for the Cyclones. Leadoff man is left fielder Wilmer Reyes. Then the shortstop Shervin Newton. Matt O'Neill, the DH, hits third. JT Schwartz batting in the cleanup spot. He'll play first base. He's ahead of Jose Mena batting in the five spot doing the catching. Then it's right fielder Brandon McIlwain hitting sixth. Jose Peroza, the second baseman, hitting seventh. Eight hitter, center fielder and Brooklyn native Jalen Palmer. And the third baseman, the nine-hole hitter Warren Saunders, rounds out the lineup with, again, Rojas on the mound. Once again for the Blue Rocks, Baker leads off. He's at second. Mendez in center batting second. Then left fielder Antuna. Pineda is the catcher. Merahildo at first. Mendoza bats sixth. Hill DH. Strohschein in right. Sanchez at third. And Barley at the shortstop spot. On the Cyclone side, the top of the lineup card is Reyes in left and Newton at short. O'Neill at DH. Schwartz hits cleanup. He'll play first. Catcher Jose Mena. Then right fielder Brandon McIlwain. And the bottom three. Rosa at second. Palmer batting eighth, playing center. And Saunders, the third baseman, batting ninth. So hopefully we will have baseball coming up in just a moment right after this from Maimonides Park. My name is Keith Rad at BrooklynCyclones.com and MILB.TV.
Hi, folks. Join us now for another Brooklyn ball game.
Conforto hits one in the right. Down the line. pitch. This one hit pretty well, left field. Left fielder going back up against the tree. And he's tied it at 2-2. Edgar Rodriguez with a ties the game with two down here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Oh, man, it could be a nicer afternoon. Great goodness, this is the one we've been waiting for. This is it. This makes you feel like it's spring and baseball and like there's no more measles. Free tickets to the circus.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first. Behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight and the Mets win it.
Brooklyn by one. The pitch.
Struck him out swinging. Brooklyn, you have your title. The Brooklyn Cyclones are outright champions for the first time in history. 2019 New York Penn League champions.
And I'm delighted for all our wonderful Brooklyn fans in Brooklyn, Long Island, New Jersey, all over, that at long last we've brought this world championship to Brooklyn.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Ben Scully speaking to you.
This is the old redhead, Red Barber, here at Ebbets Field, Brooklyn, USA.
And live from Maimonides Park in Coney Island, USA, it is Brooklyn Cyclones baseball. Tonight, the Cyclones, the high affiliate of the New York Mets, plays game. I have no idea of this, what it'll eventually be. A five-game series against the high-A affiliate of the Washington Nationals. That is the Wilmington Blue Rocks. It is one of those weeks in Brooklyn that really we've never experienced before. And we're going through it right now, I have to say. We have just fallen in love with the fans that have stuck it out through what has been a very impatient week on all of our parts. Fogged out, F-O-G-G-E-D out. On Thursday and last night, today it was pouring, and we found a window. There's always a window, and we found it right here at 6:30. The Cyclones are wearing their amazing jerseys that they will wear on Friday nights. They are gorgeous. Kind of taking a page out of the 1986 Mets playbook, and Wilmington is in their road blues, navy blue top, and gray pants. Oscar Rojas on the mound for the Cyclones. This is officially game three of the series. Now, we're only playing 1 9-inning game right now. Tomorrow, we've already penciled it in for a doubleheader at 12:30, two sevens tomorrow afternoon. So if you need a refresh, because quite honestly, if you don't play for a day, you need a refresh. If you don't play for two, you forget who you are. Tuesday, Wilmington won that great big comeback victory 12-5. They scored 10 runs in the eighth inning to run away with the win. Brooklyn was up 5-1 into that inning, by the way. And then the other night, Cyclones up early and then held on late to win 5-4 on Wednesday. So Rojas into his winders, his first pitch to Darren Baker, and it's in there for a strike. We are underway. The Cyclones fans that have stuck it out. Gates open, by the way, at 3 o'clock today. A lot of love to him. Pitch. Baker swings, rips it down the right field line. Base hit towards the corner. Down around first base, heads to second. McElwain fishes it out of the corner, but it's a stand-up double for Darren Baker. And he leads off this cloudy Saturday game in the rain with a two-base hit. Baker was at 286, one homer, a dozen RBIs. The on-base at 336 coming into this one. So he doubles his eighth two-base hit of the year. Defensively tonight, Brandon McElwain in right, Jalen Palmer in center, Wilmer Reyes in left field. Around the diamond, third to first, Warren Saunders, Shervin Newton, Jose Peroza, and JT Schwartz. Jose Mena working with Oscar Rojas tonight, his battery mate. Here's the lefty, Ricardo Mendez. First pitch to him. Rojas misses outside for ball one. Just getting started, top of the first inning, playing one today. Mendez stands in six games in. He's 7-for-23, hitting .304. No homers, five RBIs. The on-base at .360. Oscar holds his set, deals the 1-0. A pitch ripped to the right side. Base hit between Schwartz and Peroza. Baker hits third, heads home. McElwain bobbles the ball in right. There'll be no play. Wilmington takes a 1-0 lead on the shot to right field by Ricardo Mendez. Now you have to remember that these two teams have been hitting this whole time in the cages, so it's not like the rest of us just kind of sitting around waiting for a baseball game. These teams are hot and ready to go, and even if the kind of light drizzle, cloudy fog that has engulfed this field, these guys are ready to play. So Rojas double and a single. It's 1-0. Nobody out. And with a runner at first, here's Antuna. Pitch in there for a strike. Antuna, the switch hitter batting left, playing left tonight. He's at 207, two homers, nine RBIs, 368 on base percentage. Mendez can run. Pitch cut on and fouled back towards the concourse level. It clanks off the front facing and down to the seating bowl. And by the way, the seating bowl somewhat filled, sprinkled in with a fan here or there with their umbrellas popped up. It is drizzling. It's kind of like when you look at the coffee pot at the end of the cycle, the percolator, just a couple of droplets left on top of the fans here. Everybody else finding some cover. The 0-2 pitch, Antuna swings, loops one over the second baseman, Perosa's head, a base hit to right, and three consecutive hits to start the game for Wilmington. These boys were itching to get going, and Rojas right now trying to find a rhythm. And on his end, I'm sure Jake Irvin's feeling something similar for Wilmington. He's a scheduled starter for the Blue Rocks. Rojas thought he was pitching on Thursday, then he wasn't. Then he thought he was pitching on Friday, then he wasn't. And then he thought he was pitching today at 4 o'clock and had to kind of wait. So he's getting his motor going, albeit a little bit slowly. And here's the righty catcher, Israel Pineda. 1-0 Wilmington, top of the first, nobody out. First toss. Swing and a foul back to the right side. Strike one. Pineda hitting at 281, two homers, 16 RBIs. On base percentage at 323. Pineda, then the big guy, Merihildo to follow, and Mendoza. This is the toughest of the lineups we've seen for Mario Lison and the Wilmington Blue Rocks. Rojas head on a swivel, the 0-1. Caught on and missed. That was 90 up and in for strike two. Rojas just turned 23 years old in his last start last week at Aberdeen. Cinco de Mayo, and he's from Irigato, Guanajuato, Mexico. So it was a big day for him. Here's the 0-2. Pineda cuts and fouls it back. It ricocheted off Mena's glove. So Pineda stays alive at no balls, two strikes. Now Rojas coming into this game is one of the league's best pitchers. He has the second lowest whip at sub 90. It's actually .81 coming into the game. He's third in ERA, 1.82. And opponent's batting average, 1.86. That's fourth best in the league. Here's the 0-2. The breaking ball misses down low for ball one. Now, today's game, you have to take with a grain of salt. These are the things that you kind of have to know. You can't just look at the numbers. You got to watch the games a little bit, see the story. Rojas giving up a double, a single, and a single in this game. And he's yet to get an out. And he's trying to clean off the bottom of his white spikes just to get a grip. He's dropped his glove, in fact, and kind of has hunched over, reaching for that left leg and trying to dig out that left spike. I wonder what Jake Irvin is thinking in the dugout for Wilmington, who we will see in the bottom of the first. So Rojas is good to go. First and second, nobody out. 1-0 Wilmington, top of the first. The fog has certainly taken over the field a little bit. The 1-2, Pineda cuts and misses. He strikes out for the first in the top of the first. So Pineda, the first strikeout victim. Rojas, a sigh of relief as he gets his first out. And now the double play could end the inning as Omar Merihildo strides in. Big guy the other night hit a home run, his fourth of the year. He's up to 18 RBIs, hitting at 308, so hitting for average and hitting for power, and the on base at 374. Rojas fires away. Pitch caught on and missed. 90-mile-an-hour fastball in the outside corner for strike one. Rishi, Lights are on at Maimonides Park. The 0-1. Slider twists outside. One ball, one strike. These Brooklyn Amazing jerseys that the Cyclones are wearing for the first time have a true blue facing, and you have that 86 Mets theme on the sleeve, and on the back you actually have the cutout of the skyline of Coney Island in New York City. It's very, very cool, and it's every single Friday. Here comes the 1-1. The slider's off the plate. Marihildo takes for ball two. But it's the new school Brooklyn logo that we've introduced to you this year across the front. The number underneath the LYN. The 2-1. Taken inside for ball three. I mentioned the skyline on the back goes over the numbers, so when a pitcher actually extends towards the plate, glove first, arm back to the outfield, you can see the skyline open up on the back of the jersey. 3-1. There's a strike at the knees, and Marihildo now made a hitter at 3-2. And the sleeve is the coolest part, from the neck down to the right around the elbow area. White, orange, and blue. Very 86 Mets style. It's awesome. The guys absolutely love it. The payoff. Marihildo jam, fouls it off to the right side towards the speed pitch on the concourse. It stays 3-2. One nothing Wilmington, top of the first inning. Runners at first and second, one out. The payoff. Marihildo bangs it foul to the right, off into the foggy clouds, headed to the parking lot. So a little piece on the fog, by the way. Now, we had a situation back in the early 2000s. We had a fog out. And then in 2019, we had a fog out right around the 4th of July. So it's happened before. Payoff. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Marihildo down on the slider. Rojas back-to-back K's. Two down on the top of the first. So the situation on Thursday was just kind of a perfect storm, if you will, of humidity and pressure and systems and all the things the meteorologists know about. But the beach obviously doesn't help as the fog rolls in. Nothing you can do. Here's Drew Mendoza, the lefty. Pitch. Rojas misses arm side away. One ball, no strikes. So to have that Thursday was, hey, that's a one in a million shot. But to have it back-to-back nights and into a third night, you're almost helpless. What do you do? Rojas deals the 1-0, and Mendoza takes down and in for ball two. Drew at 266, no homers, but 19 RBIs to lead the Wilmington Blue Rocks. A 343 OBP. Batting with two on, two out, 1-0 in the top of the first. Hitters count. Kicking the pitch. Outside with a 91-mile-an-hour fastball, ball three. Cyclones have somebody up in the bullpen behind Rojas, and they don't want to have to do that. But Oscar has thrown a lot of pitches. The 3-0. Swinging a shot up the middle. It sneaks on by. Base hit center field. Mendez around third. Palmer gloves, throws to third base, and it's not in time. An RBI single by Drew Mendoza, who slides into second base on the throw. And it's 2-0 in favor of the Nationals affiliate in the first. So you get Mendoza now his, again, team-leading 20th RBI. Mendez in with ease. And here comes A.J. Sager out of the dugout to talk to Rojas. Not to make excuses, but you feel for Rojas. This is a weird situation. It's funny, the last time we had a situation similar to this was in Wilmington, opening night, April 8th. Junior Santos was the scheduled starter. And it didn't just affect him, but it affected his counterpart, Mitchell Parker. Both guys got ready for Friday night. First game of the 2022 season, excited to get it rolling. We got to about 20 minutes before game time, and we had wet grounds. We couldn't play the game, so we had to come back the next day and try again. And both guys struggled early. Pitchers are total creatures of habit. And this has been a backward, unorthodox last few days for these guys. So Rojas, the first victim of this, struggling in this first inning. Here's Stroshine with second and third, two outs, 2-0 Wilmington, top of the first. Rojas huffing a puff, deals to the righty. Stroshine swings and fouls it back. Kevin at 299, 342 on base. He has one ball's left of the yard. He's driven in 10. Rojas peeks in for the sign. He's about to throw his 26th pitch. Here it comes. And a slider just missed down and away to even the count. So the reason I say all that is because I'd love to give you Rojas's numbers and some of the trends we've seen from him. But obviously in this first inning, you throw the numbers out the window. Do that a lot in this sport. The 1-1. There's a slider strike on the outside edge. It's 1-2. Blue Rocks lead from second and third. Rojas is a strike away. Here comes the pitch. Strike three called. Stroshine down looking, and the inning comes to an end. Seven men sent to the plate. Two runs across on four hits. No errors, and two left. We go to the bottom of the first inning. Wilmington 2, Brooklyn coming to bat on the Cyclones Radio Network.
Italian dining is a mixture of simplicity and taste. At Il Colosseo in Brooklyn, pull up a chair and sit down at a local favorite that'll have your mouth watering for all of the classics. Surrounded by a giant brick oven at the center of it all, enjoy antipasti like fried calamari, baked clams, and sautéed broccoli rabe. Dive into chicken franchise, veal piccata, or their classic Frank Sinatra pasta. Is your mouth watering yet? Yeah, thought so. That's why it's time to make it an Il Colosseo night. A night you won't regret. Visit IlColoseoRistorante.com.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today.
We go to the bottom of the first inning on a weird day in Coney Island, USA. My name is Keith Ratt on the Brooklyn Cyclones Radio Network. It's 2-0 Wilmington. Cyclones throw to the plate at the bottom of the first against right-hander Jake Irvin. Nationals affiliate, two runs on four hits against Oscar Rojas. And we'll see how the 2.5-day delay for these pitchers affects Jake Irvin, who deals with Wilmer Reyes. First pitch to the righty. Wilmer swings, rips it down to third baseline. Base hit past Sanchez. Antuna goes to chase it in the corner. And Reyes into second base with a stand-up double. It's a mirror image of the top of the first inning. Reyes gets into second, and that double brought to you by TD Bank. Make some noise for the new TD Double Up credit card. Reyes was at 216, one homer, 12 RBIs. That's his fourth double of the year. So Cyclones now chasing a pair, trying to get it back to save Rojas. Newton, a switch hitting shortstop, batting from the left side. Newton playing his third game, and here comes Mario Lisone, the manager running out from the third base dugout. I think they couldn't find Antuna. Antuna went down the tunnel there for a second. The left fielder is back there. Antuna's in left. Mendez is in center. Stroshine somewhere out there in right. Sanchez at third. Barley at short. Baker at second. Marihildo at first with Pineda behind the plate. Irvin deals home. Newton takes a backdoor breaking ball. Strike one. Again, third game for Newton. He's just 1-for-7 with a ton of walks. He's been on 4 out of 10 times so far. The pitch. Swing and a miss at 94, and it's strike two. So Jake Irvin on the mound from Edina, Minnesota, 25-year-old right-hander. 6'6", 225 pounds. He's a great story. Another guy, who's coming back from Tommy John surgery, and boy, is he having a great first year back. Comes the 0-2. Newton takes close, but inside at 95. He's been in the system since 2018. Nats went and got him in the fourth round that year out of Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner. So an interesting dynamic for Irvin, who grew up in Minnesota and went to school straight down the map in Oklahoma. 1-2. Just missed inside. Looked like Jesse Bush might have flinched. It's a good no call. Looked like it was in. But a little flinch. And it's 2-2. Reyes off second base. Brooklyn down 2-0. Nobody out. Bottom of the first. Irvin, the big guy, deals home. 2-2. Punched foul to the right. A little bouncing ball outside of first. So, been in the system in 18, 19 had a great year. Actually, 19, he jumped into the top 30 for Washington. So, he was right middle of the road, about 17. Number 17 prospect in the system. And then had to get Tommy John surgery. Missed 2021. Missed all of last year. And his first start of the year was against Brooklyn. His first game in 953 days. 2-2. Newton strikes out with the 94-mile-an-hour fastball. So Irvin puts him away. That's the first down. Let's bring up righty DH, Matt O'Neill. So I'll give you a little side-by-side, and I don't mean to pick on Dyson Acosta, but Brooklyn has a pitcher who went through something similar to Irvin. Tommy John last year, coming back this year. What do you like in that first year back with your new arm, so to speak? Pitch to O'Neill. He takes a high slider, a high fastball, I should say, for ball one. Now, Costa's had his bumps and bruises. If you're a Cyclones fan, you kind of have seen that. Irvin has been much, much different. Five games and starts, one run allowed over 17 total innings. That is a response. The 1-0, O'Neill takes a strike over the outside edge to even the count. 15 strikeouts, just three walks. He has hit a batter. He's given up just 10 hits before the Reyes double. So a really amazing response by Irvin this year. 1-1. Good breaking ball strike. And a saucer's over the outside corner, 1-2. O'Neill 9 for 38, hitting .237 in 14 games. But he, right now, is as hot as it gets. Pitch. Breaking ball. Strike three called, and O'Neill takes one over the outside corner. Back-to-back punches for Irvin. His team holding a 2-0 lead. Bottom of the first for lefty JT Schwartz. By the way, the fog has certainly picked up. The one thing we have not seen yet is your run-of-the-mill pop-up in the infield. We have seen no fly balls to the outfield. That'll be a big indication of visibility. So here's JT, left-hand hitter. Irvin deals, and Schwartz fouls back 94 for a strike. JT at .244, the on-base at .376, one homer, nine ribbies. Brooklyn down two, Reyes at second base with two outs. Irvin leans back, lunges home. Schwartz swings, pops it up into that fog, but it's foul down the left field side and out of play. Last time out for Jake Irvin. Took on Bowling Green, threw four scoreless. That's tough to do. Cyclones saw Bowling Green two series ago. Those guys can flat out hit. And Irvin shut him down. Two hits, a walk, struck out two. He was in control for four. Schwartz behind with two outs. Here's the 0-2. The pitch hit towards the middle. And through. Base hit. Baker can't get to it. Reyes around third and scores. Schwartz cuts the Cyclones' deficit in half. It's 2-1 Wilmington to the bottom of the first. Now JT picks up his 10th RBI. And Reyes, who doubled to start off the inning, gets in. I mentioned Irvin has only given up one run in 17 innings coming in, so a good get for the Cyclones. That was a roller up the middle to the right of the mound towards Darren Baker's spot at second base, but it was way by him. So the inning continues with righty Jose Mena. Schwartz takes his lead. Pitch. Mena takes a slider strike at 80. Nothing in one. Jose batting 300. He's got better than 50 at-bats. On base at 352. One home run, eight RBIs. The 0-1. High and away at 94. Schwartz 0 for 2 in steals, but does take a pretty sizable lead at first. Irvin holding and holding. Here's the 1-1. Mena drives it to the right side. Base hit in front of Strohschein. Schwartz gets the second, stops there. So throw comes firing in from right field. So the Clones are hitting Jake Irvin. It's first and second with two outs. And Brooklyn now with another base hit could tie the game. Here's Brandon McIlwain, right-handed hitter. Brooklyn trails 2-1. McIlwain at 242, one homer, five RBIs, on base at 324. Pitch. Breaking ball, dips in there for a strike. Top of the parachute jump is in the clouds. We are playing in space tonight. That's what it feels like. Runners have their lead. Schwartz at second, Mena at first. The 0-1. McIlwain swings late at a slider and comes up short for strike two. McIlwain bat bobbing over his right shoulder. The 0-2 just drifts off the plate for ball one. BMAC hits in two straight games. He's actually loved hitting in this ballpark. Batting right around 350 at Maimonides Park. Has struggled, though, on the road. Big contrast. The 1-2. Upstairs, good take at 93 miles an hour. Two balls and two strikes. Cyclones have made this a tough place for visitors to play. Clones are 9-5. In Coney Island. The 2-2. McIlwain chases the slider for strike three. And Irvin strikes out three in the inning. In fact, both starters had somewhat similar lines. They gave up some big hits, but struck out all three. And in this case, it's JT Schwartz with the RBI single to get a run back. 2-1 Wilmington as we go to the second inning in Coney Island on the Cyclones Radio Network.
Hello, everyone.
You don't have to leave the solar system to watch MLB Network. Stream live shows, live look-ins to big moments, and great games every week. Just sign in with your TV provider info at MLBNetwork.com.
Here we go!
Or through the MLB app or on Xbox. MLB Network, just about anywhere in the known universe.
Oh, this one could go to Orbit!
Oh, that's not good.
At Brooklyn Roasting Company, we believe that making delicious coffee is a fundamentally simple proposition. Grind freshly roasted, high-quality beans into clean brewing equipment. Add near-boiling filtered water, and voila, a perfect cup of piping hot coffee. At Brooklyn Roasting, we're serious but not snobby. Practical but not pretentious. Accessible, not exclusive. Just like Brooklyn, we're bold, brave, colorful, and creative. Enjoy Brooklyn Roasting Company coffee with the Brooklyn Cyclones at Maimonides Park this summer. And go to brooklynroasting.com.
Top of the second inning, Brooklyn and Wilmington in a foggy tussle from Coney Island. Blue Rocks have a 2-1 lead. And a new arm into the game already for the Cyclones. So right-hander Oscar Rojas is out. Rayson Santos comes on. He has not pitched in 9 days. Desperate for some innings. And Brooklyn going to him right away. Cyclones may just do Johnny Holstaff today because so many guys need to get in games. We're seeing Santos. So it's the first of probably many. Baikal Auto Mall calls to the bullpen. So Rojas done after one, gave up 2 runs, 4 hits, no walks. He did strike out 3. Rayson faces 8-9-1. Jose Sanchez, Jordy Barley, and then Darren Baker. Sanchez, a right-handed hitter. Santos out of the Dominican Republic, deals home. The pitch hit on the ground of the shortstop. A one-hopper to Shervin Newton. He fields and fires across in time. One pitch and one out for Rayson. Sanchez was at 236, 2 homers, 7 RBIs, on base at 353. And he is the first out. And this bring up the shortstop, Jordy Barley. Barley at 157, no homers, 5 RBIs, a 202 on base percentage. Santos settles up belt high, closed off, rockets the first one home, and the fastball up and in at 93 miles an hour for ball one. Mena sets up away. Santos deals. And the pitch pretty close, but missed downstairs for ball two. Jordy Barley, former San Diego Padres farmhand, signed for $1 million back in 2015. Traded over last year. The 2-0. Barley swings late. It's a bouncy ball to second. Peroza slides over. Fields behind the bag and throws downhill to first for the out. So Rayson, 2 ground ball outs. And again, it is foggy, but we have not seen anything up into the air. It's almost as if these hitters are being kind to the defenders and trying to keep the ball down on a line or on the ground. So back to the top of the order. Here's the lefty Darren Baker, son of Dusty. He doubled to right and scored. It's 2-1 Wilmington, top of the second. Pitch. Strike on the inside corner by Santos. 0-1. Rayson holds belt high. The 0-1 toss is downstairs. 1-1. Now Santos, he's the guy that really hadn't pitched. Him and Sammy Tavares on at least 5 days of rest. Everybody else threw at least a couple times in the last 5 games or so. Santos really needing some work. A 1-1. That's downstairs at 93 miles an hour. 2-0 on Baker. It is as foggy as it gets right now. Base is empty, 2 outs. The 2-1. Slider is downstairs for ball 3. Home plate umpire Jesse Bush comes out and dusts off home plate. The good news is the rain has subsided for right now. Maybe a drizzle or two, but if it's not rain, it's fog. Neither of them are pretty helpful for us. The 3-1. Hit on the ground up the middle. There's Newton behind second base. The shortstop has it and flings to first for the out. All three on the ground and all 3 outs for Rayson Santos. His first outing in 9 days goes swimmingly. It's 2-1 Wilmington. We go to the bottom of the second from Maimonides Park on the Cyclones Radio Network.
Cyclones fans, the New York Mets future is here with MILB.TV. With all home games and most away games streamed live, the only way to watch the Cyclones on any device this season is on MILB.TV. Subscribe today to watch more than 6,500 games, including all available playoff games. Download the MILB First Pitch app from the Google Play or Apple App Store to watch on the go. Use promo code CYCLONES at checkout to save $10 on a yearly subscription. Visit MILB.TV for details today. Sometimes it can feel like too much. How do I balance between saving for my own retirement while also paying for student loans? What about my kids and their education? And my parents? They're getting older too. They're going to need me to be there for them very soon.
That's where I come in. I'm Christina Guglielmetti from Future Perfect Planning in Brooklyn. And these are some of the common concerns my clients have. Questions like, how much home can I afford? Can I even take the risk of changing careers while planning for the future? How do I prioritize when everything seems important? It can be very overwhelming. I create flexible financial plans that balance your current needs with where you want to go. Head to futureperfect.nyc and let's start a conversation today.
So we go to the bottom of the second inning from Maimonides Park. It's 2-1 Wilmington. Only playing one nine-inning game today for those of you who are trying to stay abreast of the situation here with the weather today. So scheduling a doubleheader for tomorrow at 12:30. But right now, in game three of this series, Jose Peroza leads off the bottom of the second. First pitch from Jake Irvin. Peroza deals a fastball strike at 94 on the outside corner. Rose at 195, no homers, 5 RBIs, the on-base at 256. Pitch, good slider, cut on and missed for strike two. So we only saw Oscar Rojas for one inning. We didn't see how he would respond after a beat-up top of the first. Irvin did get hit hard himself. We'll see how he responds. The 0-2, that's outside for ball one. Bottom of the order, 7, 8, 9. So Peroza, then Palmer, then Saunders. Irvin 6-6, shoulders rise and fall. Slowly rocks into the wine. And the 1-2 pitch is in there for strike three. Peroza takes one looking, and all four outs for Jake Irvin have come via the strikeout. So now the righty center fielder, the Canarsie kid, Jalen Palmer. The number 14 prospect in the New York Mets system, according to MLB Pipeline. Jalen hitting at 138. Pitch. Taken outside for ball one. 2-1 Wilmington, bottom of the second inning. Palmer's on-base percentage resting at 282. Here's a kick in the 1-0. Jalen swings through 87 for a strike. The infield is back. Outfield is out there somewhere in the fog. The 1-1, way inside. Two balls and a strike. I can see bits and pieces of Ricardo Mendez out there. I think that's Ricardo. That's what my book says. That's what I'm going with. High kick, Irvin's 2-1. Slider outside for ball three. So in that first inning, Reyes hit a leadoff double. Two batters later, it was JT Schwartz, a two-out RBI single to cut it to 2-1. Irvin faces up, gets the sign from Pineda, the 3-1. Palmer, it's a hot shot to short, collected by Barley on one hop. He throws to first in time. Two down. First output in play for the Cyclones and for Jake Irvin. Everything else he had basically done himself. Now this is the kind of year where Washington kind of restocked a little bit last year. If you remember, they just traded everybody. They got rid of all those big contracts and got some pieces back. But Irvin could find himself back in the mix. Here's Warren Saunders. He hits a ground ball to the second baseman. Gloved by Baker, a throw to first in time. And it's a 1-2-3. For Jake Irvin. And we're done with two from Maimonides Park. It's 2-1 Wilmington as we go to the third in Coney Island on the Cyclones Radio Network.
If you're looking for a bus company that makes safety its top priority, look no further than Panorama Tours. Not only are they one of the best in the Northeast, they're also the official transportation provider for the Brooklyn Cyclones. Call them today at 973-470-9700. Or visit online at panoramabustours.com.
If you're looking for seafood straight from the boat, Nick's Lobster House has you covered. A proud woman-owned business, Nick's Lobster House has supported frontline workers and helped Brooklyn get back on its feet. Taste carefully prepared seafood at the restaurant and raw seafood bar, or shop at the fish market for live lobsters, baked clams, oysters, shrimp, crab legs, and all the seafood you need to make a scrumptious meal at home. Located at 2777 Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn, taste the freshest seafood at Nick's Lobster House.
Back in my Monterey's Park, ahead of the third inning, it's 2-1 Wilmington. A meeting has been called by home plate umpire Jesse Bush, his partner Ethan Gorsak. The two managers, everybody talking about this fog. It is absolutely brutal right now. And this is, I'm not going to say unsafe, but you just, if the ball goes up into the air, there is almost next to no chance anyone will see it. And right now, from my perch behind home plate up in the press box in the catbird seat, looking out to center field, you can barely see the highlighted yellow 412 sign, which is a sharply bright-colored set of numbers on that green wall out there, which we can barely see. So these managers, I mean, they tried to play through the rain, which was the best-case scenario, a light drizzle. When it rains, the fog almost has no choice. It's not there. It's a scientific thing that I have no idea about. But if it rains, it's no fog. If it doesn't rain, there's fog. That's what the situation is over the past 3 days in Coney. So chatting about it right now, looks like they have brought the Wilmington bullpen into the dugout. And we're waiting on a decision. I don't even know what you would call this, a fog delay. But they have taken the teams off the field. And the umpires are strolling off the field as well. Now we have seen no signal. Usually if they call a game, in my experience, the umpires would signal above and say, we're all done here. But that's not the case. I don't know what the next best thing is, because we try to wait this out on Thursday and Friday and had no success. This is something that we have just never seen before in this kind of consistency. I mentioned we've seen fog outs in the history of this team. Weather and water. We are right on the water. This is crazy. Now, if you were watching the Met game yesterday, you could see a little bit of the fog even at Citi Field. So it's not like it's just Coney Island. You could see it driving. You could see it through the streets of Brooklyn, through Manhattan. So, yeah, certainly we're in the worst of the places for the fog. But them's the breaks right now. I guess nothing to do right now but hang on and wait. So we're going to come off, take a quick break before we go to the top of the third inning. It's 2-1 Wilmington. Back after this.
If you're looking for a bus company that makes safety its top priority, look no further than Panorama Tours. Not only are they one of the best in the Northeast, they're also the official transportation provider for the Brooklyn Cyclones. Call them today at 973-470-9700 or visit online at panoramabustours.com.
These are the very first images from the new space telescope.
Hello, everyone.
You don't have to leave the solar system to watch MLB Network. Stream live shows, live look-ins to big moments, and great games every week. Just sign in with your TV provider info at MLBNetwork.com.
Here we go!
Or through the MLB app. Or on Xbox. MLB Network, just about anywhere in the known universe.
Oh, this one could go to orbit!
Oh, that's not good.
At Brooklyn Roasting Company, we believe that making delicious coffee is a fundamentally simple proposition. Grind freshly roasted, high-quality beans into clean brewing equipment. Add near-boiling filtered water, and voila, a perfect cup of piping hot coffee. At Brooklyn Roasting, we're serious but not snobby. Practical but not pretentious. Accessible, not exclusive. Just like Brooklyn, we're bold, brave, colorful, and creative. Enjoy Brooklyn Roasting Company coffee with the Brooklyn Cyclones at Maimonides Park this summer. And go to brooklynroasting.com.
Hey, hon. Have I ever told you how much I love the Murph's Famous Bloody Mary mix?
Yes, sweetheart.
So bold, rich, thick.
Yeah, and honestly, these wings with Murph's, oh, they're awesome.
Remember, with the Murph's, it's one sip, one believer. And apparently,
a whole lot more.
Is that the Murph in our kitchen?
The Murph's in every kitchen, Craig.
Back at Maimonides Park, if you're watching on MILB.TV, I think they have a shot of it. Just the intense fog right now that has engulfed us in Coney Island. If you're listening on MILB.TV, pour a glass of water, lift it up to your eyes, and try to see through it, I guess. That's the closest thing right now. Maybe make it seltzer and then try to look through it. We're in a fog delay for right now, so we went into it about 7:13. We were headed to the top of the third inning. At 2-1 Wilmington, and that is where we will hit our delay. Now, I don't know if this is a delay that we will see come to an end, but I will tell you we're in a delay. Now, the umpires, just as they would for a lightning storm or rain or something where they would have to pull the teams off the field, the decision is in the hands of the umpires, but a certain amount of time has to pass before they make a decision. So we're going to take a break, an extended break, here in Coney Island. If you missed our Amazing Starts Here podcast, interview with Gretchen Oakcoin, who is a player development coach for the New York Mets down in Florida with the Complex League team. Got a chance to catch up with her before the season, myself, and with Billy Harner, the assistant general manager of the Brooklyn Cyclones. So we'll play you a little bit of that interview. We'll have an update as soon as we possibly can. If you want to step away, we totally understand that. Head to BrooklynCyclones.com or go to our social media pages. Twitter is your probably best friend right now for updates on this this current fog delay that we are in. But for the third day in a row, Mother Nature says, no. So we are going to wait this out as long as we can. Back after this from Coney Island.
This is the Amazing Starts Here podcast. I'm Paul Harner. My name is Pete Brad. And today we have special guest Gretchen Oakcoin, who for the first time in the Mets minor leagues will be an on-field dressed coach as a female. So, Billy, it's a very pioneering, break the glass ceiling, knock down barriers time for women in sports. We talk about Rachel Balcovic lately. She's the now manager of the low-A Tampa Harpins, and the Mets have now hired their own Gretchen Oakcoin, who's got a great background.
Yeah, Rachel got the headlines a few weeks ago when they named her the first female manager in the minor leagues. But there's about 10 or 11 other females that are taking significant on-field, in-uniform, in-dugout roles. Gretchen tells a little bit of her story, getting us from Italy to New Zealand to Auburn to Alabama to everywhere in between. She's someone who's definitely paid her dues in the sports world and will be blazing her own trail here in the Mets organization starting this season.
Yeah, all those places and now with the New York Mets. So enjoy our conversation with Gretchen. Well, Gretchen, first of all, welcome to the New York Mets organization. I'm sure that phrase is something you didn't anticipate anyone would say. What has this been like, to the recent announcement of your hiring and the historic announcement of the list that you're on with many other women that have now broken a big barrier to jump into affiliated baseball?
Right, Keith, yeah, it's been quite a ride in the probably a month and a half, 2 months that it's all kind of come into fruition. It's still really surreal at this point to be able to say that I'm in the organization and what I'll be doing. And, I mean, there's still a lot of onboarding stuff going on at the moment. So, about a week out from when I actually need to be in Port St. Lucie, and, I have to just snap my fingers and, you know, tell myself it's really happening and it's almost here. But I can't express how excited I am. And I'm sure it'll all hit me as soon as I get there. I stay pretty calm and cool until I get there, and then it all just comes flooding in, right? But to be recognized and for it to be out there that I am amongst one of the 11 women who are trailblazing, that's just as surreal. I kind of expressed it in a interview I did a few weeks ago for a local paper back home, that it was never like an ambition of mine to be someone of that nature, but it's just kind of happened. And I'm more than happy to be a front woman, someone who's out there on that platform. And I mean, it's not going to change how I do things, because that's kind of what's gotten me there in the first place. But it's an honor to be amongst the women that are leading the way, and then have mentors like Rachel Balkovec and Folden out there, who trailblazed it first, you know, for us. So it's quite exciting.
So you talked about snapping your fingers all of a sudden here it is. But that's obviously not the case. I mean, this has been going on for years, and this year is sort of the year of the woman in terms of the number of and the volume of women coaches and other in-uniform team members. So how did you sort of get here? I mean, this isn't something where you decided, hey, all of a sudden, I'm just going to go ahead and coach for the Mets. Obviously, you've been doing things for years. So tell us how you sort of got from where you started to where you are now.
Right, so this is it's a bit of a wild story, and this is where it all happened so fast for me. Is I've been in New Zealand for the last 3 years. So I played internationally and I worked there. Once COVID happened, I was still planning on being an international athlete through softball, but kind of changed the travel plans once it hit the world. So I stayed in New Zealand and continued to work in player development. Via softball, and it's very popular for men and women there. And baseball was starting to grow and get competitive there as well. So to have a platform of that nature there was really, really cool. But what I was longing for going into about 9 months in a full-time role is I was getting really, really hungry for more development professionally. Like I'm 27 and I know there's a lot more out there that I don't know. And I wanted to be in a vicinity of where I could be amongst people who are incredibly like-minded and driven in a sport that allows them to do that, because it's a full-time job. Right. So I was hungry for that. And I reached out to Rachel Balkovec and her mentorship just to get my foot in the door as far as building myself professionally again, just to put myself out there. I didn't anticipate baseball, but she asked the question, have I thought about it? And I said, I am not opposed. I am all for taking an alternate route to be my best professional development, basically. So she knew a contact, Jeremy Barnes, who was looking for someone of my nature. And I shot him my resume. 2 weeks later, I followed up. We had a conversation. The next week, I talked to Kevin Howard. And then within a month after those two conversations, the job offer came through. So it was for me to pick up, change my life from New Zealand back to the States after talking to Rachel as well. So that all happened within 2 months. The decision, the process, the job, moving back. So that's where it still feels unreal, but as far as having a life and a career in sport and at a high performance level, ever since I was little, nothing feels uncomfortable. Nothing feels different. At this point, it's going to be the platform, and it's going to be the pace of play for the most part.
Yeah. That's so interesting. You're just like, this is the least of my concerns. I now have to move my life from New Zealand to, you know, back to the States again, you know, and breaking down barriers at the same time. You mentioned in that story you had done, that local story, that after you spoke with the Mets, you thought, you know, that may or may not work. That interview process where it did work, you know, what are some of the things that discussed that you felt like, hey, I can help out in X, Y, and Z?
Right. So the biggest thing I knew of in the interview process was they're looking for someone in player development. And that was pretty much in my wheelhouse from what I've been doing the last few years anyhow. And I enjoy this. I have a passion for this and I'm keen for it. And the things they're looking for at that point was someone who could throw BP, hit fungo, at least be capable of all those things, catch up. And then they also wanted to hear how I talked about what I've done and what I've been doing and what my thoughts are on some of the ways I go about teaching and instructing and how I present that kind of information. And I guess for what I've said, it worked out all right. but I'm continually in a growth mindset. So I'm looking forward just to being a sponge for the first, you know, few months and the entire time I'm there, just to collaborate with people. And so we can build something great just for the players that come in.
So the level that you're going to be starting at is a very unique sort of beast. You know, here in Brooklyn, we used to be the short season and a lot of first people stopped, But in the complex league, that really is what it is. It's a lot of guys coming from the Dominican or Venezuela or getting their first taste of, you know, life in America, life away from home. Sort of when you talked about, you know, your relationship building and things like that, how do you think your international background, being on your own in New Zealand and having sort of a similar path, I guess, for some of these guys here as they're coming to the States for the first time, will help you connect to them?
I think it definitely opens up a door to relate and empathize quite a bit easier. At any part when I've left home or left any other area, I was always going into a team because it was always sport related that actually got me to that country. So I already knew I had a safety net of people that wanted me there, for one. And I'm assuming that's how most of these guys will feel coming into a complex, because they've gotten an invite. But as far as making them feel as much as at home as possible is understanding cultural differences, which, you know, living across a country for several years and then being able to travel around Europe has opened my eyes to respect all the differences that come with people and different backgrounds. So I always have a curious nature when it comes to getting to know people. So that's what I'm really, really looking forward to as well. It's an environment where there's very different people from where I've been in the past. And I think that's anywhere I go for the most part. But no, I'm very open and curious to get to know a lot of these athletes and excited about it. So hopefully they see that and it allows them to open up a bit more.
And of course, what makes this so unique is, I mean, it's 2022. We know everybody can do everything. These players, there's a dynamic in baseball that's been there forever. When I started it and when Billy started, we walk in, there's a bunch of men that look like us and we fit right in. For you, it'll be a little bit different. When you're trying to bridge that gap between baseball and softball, man, woman, what's your philosophy on all the talk about that, or, you know, bridging that gap with some of these younger players that, you know, you give them instruction and they might look at you sideways or something, you know, that the natural, I guess, thought process that they have. How do you fix
that? Right. So, there's always a feeling, there's the thought, and there's basically ways that I'll be handling myself in those situations, or if I feel that's the case. And I have to understand that that's not a me issue. That's very much what's going on within that own individual. And it shouldn't change the purpose that I'm there for. It's for the individual. So if they're struggling to hear what I'm saying due to how I look or how I carry myself, then I'll keep plugging the information in a different way to hopefully just connect or sink in with something that they relate to. But I just see us all as humans. Like, I'm going to talk to every person in there as an individual that I want to get to know. I hope they treat me with the same respect. But I do understand there's going to be people that may just tune out because of who I am. But like I said, I can't carry myself worrying and fixating on that. And that's not how things are going to get done. So I'll keep plugging away and until people kind of realize and get to know me and build a trust. And that I feel like that comes all through relationships. So it'll be interesting. I don't see it as a barrier or a blockage from keeping me to do what I'm meant to do, but we'll see.
So you mentioned Rachel Balcovic and her mentorship program. She's now the low A Tampa Tarpons manager in the Yankees organization. What were some of your conversations with her? Because like you said, you know what you're talking about. You know how to get the point across. You know what you're going after. You know what you need to do to kind of get these players better. But there will be that moment or that barrier. Okay, now I have to bridge this gap. What was she saying in that regard? Or what did you kind of pick up or learn from her?
I've learned that side more from what she has done and what she has posted via her socials and stuff. Because she's talked about those barriers specifically. But what her and I had talked about throughout the mentorship program was basically just me, where I was at my point in my life, what I wanted, and the potential for me based on my background and stuff. So that was a lot of like self, basically self-awareness and diving in deep to what the possibilities are. So she saw something in me that, you know, gave me basically the encouragement I needed to put myself out there all over again. And that's kind of what's keeping me going as well. It's like, yeah, you're right. I can do this. Like, why haven't I even thought about trailblazing like this before? And stuff of that nature. Like I need to be able to carry myself around like that more often than not. And, at least feel and think that way a little bit more often. And, yeah. And now that I'm stepping into this, it's only now that I'm realizing that those male female barriers are going to probably come up a little more often than they have been in my last career. So I'll come, you know, I'll cross that bridge once we get there, but until then I'll just stay humble and hungry and then get my hustle going.
So on the field, how different is coaching softball, working on somebody's swing in softball versus working on somebody's swing in baseball? Like, obviously similar sports, one mound is closer than the other, bigger ball, all that other stuff. But what are the similarities? What are the differences when you're teaching someone and working on their swing in softball versus baseball?
That's a, these are good questions. I like it when we get technical. So I don't see much of a difference. So a lot of what I grew up doing was following my brother. We're 10 years apart, so he played baseball and a lot of other sports growing up, and my swing was probably that more of a baseball swing growing up. It was never softball specific until I got into the game when I was actually hitting a softball and seeing the fast pitch, right? So my philosophy wouldn't be entirely different, but my language terminology based on the athlete may have to be different. So that's where I always adjust how I say things based on the athlete and the individual. And then whatever we correct is obviously back down to the individual. I typically start from the ground up because that's where girls are really faulty. But I haven't done a whole lot of male swings to understand where their typical point of low-hanging fruit stems from. So, I mean, I'll see that whenever it comes time to be around those individuals, but I don't see a huge difference in how I would teach and diagnose a baseball, softball swing all that different.
So we've talked a lot about on this show, how analytics and that whole beast has gone from just a major league thing to now, you know, as 16, 17 year olds in high school are getting involved in this. So when you're experienced in softball, how much of that is actually prevalent, you know, the launch angles and all that stuff, as opposed to now when we're coming to the Mets organization, which has grown exponentially in terms of their staff and their abilities to provide statistics and analytics? How prevalent has that been in your career prior? And how much are you sort of looking forward to or not looking forward to getting your hands on much more of this stuff?
This is probably my most like excited part too, is that I'll be in a place where we have resources to get all this data and have a staff of people who can translate it to coaches and coaches translate it to players and like a full team of people that are totally diving into all of this technical stuff. This is the part that I'm really, really hungry to engage in and learn more about and basically help an athlete isolate where it is they need to work on and spend hours on that training mechanism. Like, that's where I'm really excited about. And prior to, I haven't had to have a whole lot of experience based on where I've been. So internationally, there's not a ton of money for softball teams to have resources or labs or force plates or, you know, anything other than like a radar gun to help them get metrics on their stuff. So a lot of it's just been by the eye, and it's been the bigger mechanic problems that cause, you know, hiccups and stuff that I've had to try to help other athletes with. So to be able to come into a world where I've been wanting to make that transition, because I've tried bringing in like things like a Diamond Kinetics and stuff into my field, but the buy-in and the practicality for those who have no experience in it to use it is really, really tough for them. So to go into a place where it's all going to be in the lab, it's always going to be tracked, and we can take from whatever we need based on what we're focusing on. That's what I'm really excited about as well.
Yeah, some of these former players, they see like blast motion and data, and they're like, boy, if I only had this when I was playing, how much better I would have been. So it really is an exciting thing. And I always love when players have their blast motion, which is a little device under their handle, and they're just in the middle of an at bat, and they go down 0-2, and they're like, get this thing off my bat. I don't want this thing around me. But it does make some wild changes for everybody. It's so cool.
It's wild. I mean, I went outside last week here in the stadium in Brooklyn, and we have Hawkeye that came into this year for the analytics systems here. And there have to be 18 cameras outside on the field. It's like wild. It's like the Super Bowl. Like every swing, you're going to have a 360 degree angle of what everybody's doing. It's where things have come from, even 2019, 2018, to where they are today is just, it's wild. And the new ownership group said that this was something they were going to invest in and be a part of. And that has certainly been the case. I mean, there's more servers here for these analytic coding and whatever than there are at like some hedge funds. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's wild too, like to think that as a player who doesn't see or feel the game in that way, or, you know, most young players won't if they're just their raw talent and they go out there and they just do them. But to be able to have all the footage to potentially see where it's all stemming from and how they are sequencing, and then have an incredible organization of people that are able to break that down and translate it however that player may hear it. That's what's wild for me too, because I've had like two things very separated throughout my playing career. So I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm starting to see it all fit together, and I'm excited for players to then get that piece of the puzzle throughout their career sooner than I got to. So that's really, really cool too.
And then just lastly for me, you talk about living life in other countries, but you grew up in Mississippi. You're currently in Alabama. You're working for a team in the Big Apple, New York. I know you'll be working in Florida, but working for the Mets, I mean, growing up, you know, how much was professional baseball, you know, around where you were? How much did you know about the Mets? And for that organization to be the one that is now, you know, taking you, how's that all working? How's it all feeling for you?
Right. So, if I look at it, I've always been a softball athlete. I played basketball too, but softball is kind of where I excelled sooner than later. And even then, looking at colleges or like the Olympic team or professionally, I don't even think they had much going on when I was younger, but it was never something I totally aspired or admired insanely. I actually really didn't like watching it on TV. I wanted to play it. But baseball, I could get behind the whole culture and environment because that is a feel. The closest team to me growing up was the Braves. So that was the first team I got to go see live. And that was amazing. I've been to a few baseball stadiums since then, throughout the country, which, now I want to make it like a bucket list to go to all of them. Cause the parks are probably some of my favorite fields. But what I've really enjoyed, baseball, softball, any sport, is movement and just seeing athletes move efficiently and, you know, see them perform their best. And to be able to do that in a sport that's so closely related to what I've grown up playing and excelling in is still just a dream that I never dreamt that came true. Like it's all here and happening. And I couldn't be more happy about the journey that's coming and where it's all going to lead to. It's kind of, I say this word over and over, it's surreal.
So you mentioned a journey that is ahead, but you've had quite a journey globally to this point. You know, where has been your favorite place that you've gone and gotten to spend some time with? And Keith is going to have a follow-up question about food. Keith's a big foodie. So where's your favorite spot that you've stumbled upon where the food has sort of surprised you?
That's a tough one because each place is just so different and each has their own story. I lived a different lifestyle every place I went. So, when I say every place, it was like two countries that I played in. But from the United States, New Zealand, which working full time and playing, at a high level was an interesting way to balance life. And then also taking the time to see the country, in the summer. And it's, I tell you, I was there for 3 years, saw most of it, but would do it over and over and over again. And then Italy was so much fun because I actually got to be back in a professional athlete format to where I was just there as a player. And so any time off, we got to go and tour the entire country. And, that again was amazing. And being in the midst of a different culture and being welcomed into it and getting to experience everything that is normal to them there. I would do it all over again. But I would say my favorite place for food and architecture, probably Italy. That was hands down. As far as outdoor fit, like, excursions and all that stuff, New Zealand. Like, everything is so close. You could drive a few hours and you're in snow, drive a few hours and you're just hiking or by a beach. Like, that's amazing in itself.
Well, Gretchen, we really appreciate the time. I know this is a very exciting moment for you, getting down to Florida. So good luck this upcoming year and thanks for jumping on the pod with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Keith.
Are the very first images from the new space telescope.
Hello, everyone.
You don't have to leave the solar system to watch MLB Network. Stream live shows, live look-ins to big moments, and great games every week. Just sign in with your TV provider info at MLBNetwork.com.
Here we go!
Or through the MLB app. Or on Xbox. MLB Network, just about anywhere in the known universe.
Oh, this one could go to orbit!
Oh, that's not good.
At Brooklyn Roasting Company, we believe that making delicious coffee is a fundamentally simple proposition. Grind freshly roasted, high-quality beans into clean brewing equipment. Add near-boiling filtered water, and voila, a perfect cup of piping hot coffee. At Brooklyn Roasting, we're serious but not snobby. Practical but not pretentious. Accessible, not exclusive. Just like Brooklyn, we're bold, brave, colorful, and creative. Enjoy Brooklyn Roasting Company coffee with the Brooklyn Cyclones at Maimonides Park this summer. And go to brooklynroasting.com.
Hey, hon. Have I ever told you how much I love the Murph's Famous Bloody Mary mix?
Yes, sweetheart.
So bold, rich, thick.
Yeah, and honestly, these wings with Murph's, oh, they're awesome.
Remember, with the Murph's, it's one sip, one believer, and apparently a whole lot more.
Is that the Murph in our kitchen?
The Murph's in every kitchen, Craig.
If you're looking for seafood straight from the boat, Nick's Lobster House has you covered. A proud woman-owned business, Nick's Lobster House has supported frontline workers and helped Brooklyn get back on its feet. Taste carefully prepared seafood at the restaurant and raw seafood bar, or shop at the fish market for live lobsters, baked clams, oysters, shrimp, crab legs, and all the seafood you need to make a scrumptious meal at home. Located at 2777 Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn, taste the freshest seafood at Nick's Lobster House.
Are you ready to go Oppo Taco? We'll make your way to Coney Island for baseball and some Mexican-style food and fun. Every Tuesday is Taco Tuesday. East Cyclones Tuesday home game will feature two tacos for $5 and margarita specials. Say adios to your hunger and take in the excitement of Cyclones baseball with a taco. That's 2-for-5 tacos with margarita specials only at Maimonides Park.
These are the very first images from the new
Space Telescope.
Hello, everyone.
You don't have to leave the solar system to watch MLB Network. Stream live shows, live look-ins to big moments, and great games every week. Just sign in with your TV provider info at MLBNetwork.com.
Here we go!
Or through the MLB app. Or on Xbox. MLB Network, just about anywhere in the known universe.
That's not good.
At Brooklyn Roasting Company, we believe that making delicious coffee is a fundamentally simple proposition. Grind freshly roasted, high-quality beans into clean brewing equipment. Add near-boiling filtered water, and voila, a perfect cup of piping hot coffee. At Brooklyn Roasting, we're serious, but not...
This is Nick Gaddis, and you're listening to the Brooklyn Cyclones Radio Network.
Back at Coney Island at Maimonides Park for an update. Tonight's game has been suspended due to the foggy conditions and will be made up tomorrow. This is Keith Rad with you from Maimonides Park in Coney Island. Tonight's 2-1 Wilmington lead. We were going into the third inning and the umpires pulled the guys off the field. So we will resume tomorrow at 12:30. We'll play a full 9-inning game. We will complete this game. We'll basically just hit pause, pick it up, top of the third inning. At 12:30 tomorrow, Ricardo Mendez will lead off. The lineup stays the same. Everything stays the same. And so that is what we will do tomorrow at 12:30. It'll be followed by a 7-inning game at the conclusion of that. So we will only end up playing 4 games this week, which is a shame. We really tried during this fog. So that does it for our broadcast tonight. Wilmington has a 2-1 lead. We'll see you tomorrow at about 12:15 for a pregame. We will resume our suspended game. That does it tonight from Coney Island.